So a woman goes to her psychologist, and while she's at her psychologist, she says, "My husband called me a big fat cow last night." And the psychologist says, "Wow, that must have been an absolutely horrible experience for you. Why don't you tell me what happened?" And so she started to recount the story. "Well, we were at the store, and we were shopping for some things, and and it just was shopping when it happened." And he says, "Oh, really? Well, where were you exactly?" And she starts to think a little bit, and she says, "Oh, it was so painful, I can barely remember." She starts thinking, and we were shopping, and then we're in the frozen food section. "Well, what caused your husband to say that in the frozen food section?" "Well, let me think," she says again. I think it was when we were picking out, it was ice cream. I'd gotten some ice cream out, and he said, "You're a big fat cow" at that point. "Well, no, what did he say exactly before that?" And the psychologist and the woman continue this conversation. Let's see, he said something, and what they actually find out is that the husband said something like, "Oh, do you really need that?" when she picked up some ice cream. And she had interpreted it in her mind as, "You're a big fat cow." Now, how does this happen that we distort reality so much that when someone says something that has nothing to do or that was not what we think it is, that we interpret it to mean something completely different? Well, welcome to the world of emotions versus feelings. In the spirit of, if you'd like to talk to me, then please define your terms first. I want to talk about emotions versus feelings is the way that I've been most happy and successful in understanding myself and helping other people shed light on why they're doing what they're doing and what's going on inside them through definitions of emotions versus feelings as two completely separate and distinct things. So first of all, what are feelings? Because this is simpler. So feelings are what happen to you in the moment. So you slam your fingers in a door, or someone gives you a compliment, or someone yells boo to you, or there's a bolt of lightning that lands right next to you, or you're lost in the ocean, or you feel like you're going to drown, or something that happens right now in the moment. That's a feeling. And the body has feelings. You know, you can just with a loud noise coming in through your senses, suddenly you can pull together or be kind of shocked just because something happens to your body. Now, feelings you don't have to think about before they come. Emotions, sometimes it seems like you're not as well, but you really are. But anyway, back to feelings. They're an instantaneous type of process. Yeah, those are your feelings, what you're feeling in the moment. Right? So that's the definition of feelings. They're something that you don't need to think about. It's sort of instantaneous. It's usually very body related. You know, if someone gives you a kiss or strokes your cheek, this is your feeling. This is what you immediately sense, perceive, and react to on a physical level or on an instantaneous level. Now, what are emotions? Emotions are based upon the past. People talk about energy and motion being emotions. Well, the way I see it is emotions are something that happened before. So what happened to this woman when she was at the store with her husband was he said something and, well, let me continue their conversation. What happened was she continued to talk with her psychologist and they got to the bottom of it and found out that her father, when she was 15 years old, when she was pulling ice cream out of the fridge, had said, "What are you, a big fat cow? Or you want to be a big fat cow?" And that had triggered a gigantic emotion in her, or a feeling, let's say this, it triggered a feeling. And the feeling was not dealt with, expressed, processed. It wasn't allowed to do what the feeling was there to do. It was not acknowledged, understood by the girl. And so it just got stored for later triggering. And that triggering comes out anytime she gets in a situation that is similar and touches that nerve of that story, that experience. All right? So when you're going through life and things happen to you and you start to get very emotionally, like you find yourself being sad or afraid or very angry, maybe for a little thing, left the tube off the toothpaste and now I'm livid, you know, something that really triggers something that seems a bit out of whack for what actually happened. And you know, your brain can even, your mind can even rewrite what happened to make it the old thing. You find that happening a lot. That is a very, very good indication that you're running on emotion, meaning something triggered from the past and not feeling something about right now. Because as an adult, you're able to handle just about any thing thrown at you. You're self-sufficient, more or less. You know how to work with other people. You have a lot of other people to help you meet your needs. So threats that come up, problems, issues, difficulties, you usually have ample resources to deal with them. But what happens when, for example, your partner says, "I don't love you anymore," or "I think it's time we move on"? A lot of times we can get a very, very panicked feeling. And actually it's something a bit similar to death. Well, why is this? This is because we felt abandoned at some point in our childhood. We were afraid of dying. We couldn't deal with the issue right there. You know, if mommy and daddy don't love me, then I will die. That's the truth for a child until a much higher age than anything in the animal kingdom. And if you lose the approval of your parents, or you stop getting energy from your parents, or if they just decided to not take care of you anymore, you would literally die. And, you know, there are times when parents threaten children with the removal of energy, appreciation, and they use that to control the child and make them behave as the child should. This is the less direct method, but often the more insidious, rather than beating a child, which would be the direct method. But often the more insidious. So what will happen is a relatively small thing happens in our adulthood, and this process gets triggered. You know, when a partner says, "I'm going to leave you or it's over," then if you look at it objectively, "Oh, okay, well, I'll find another partner," it's really handleable. Maybe painful, maybe a stress, maybe difficult, but really it's not such a gigantic issue. Unless you're connected to your emotions, which is the past, and you think about when your parents threatened to leave you and how that felt like you were going to die, and it literally would have been if your parents would have just left you at the age of 3 or 4, you probably would have died, is the feeling that you have. So when your partner or spouse or whatever threatens to leave you, all of this emotion comes up from when you were 3 or 4. And then you start projecting that all on your partner. All this fear, "Oh my gosh, they said something, I had this emotion." And rather than seeing them triggering something that was already in you, you make them responsible for how you're feeling right now. Right? So you project it onto them. "You're doing this to me, you have to stay with me." And then we start doing things to manipulate, to try and force, to keep things as they are. Well, why is that? Number one, we're not conscious of the real reason for the emotion, why it came up, right? You don't understand that this has to do with you were 3 years old and your mother said, "Well, if you don't do it, well, if you're not going to do this, then I'm not going to love you anymore." And then you sort of slowly became aware of what that meant and was filled with terror, and you couldn't process it. As a 3-year-old, you had no space. You had to keep living, keep doing whatever it is you needed to do. So no one helped you understand these feelings and process them. So now they're triggered again. And the partners who come into our lives, the close, intimate relationships, they're always triggering these things constantly. So as we project it, then, you know, we drive them further away, we get more miserable, the trigger keeps getting pressed. And this generally doesn't help anyone. So the question is, what do you do when you find yourself in very deep emotions? Well, when you find yourself triggered beyond what logically makes sense from an external viewpoint, then you really need to add some consciousness to it. First of all, realize that everything that you feel, your feelings and your emotions, have to do with you and no one else. If you smash your fingers in a door, it's your fingers that are hurting, it's your problem, you have to deal with it. And that's the same thing, whether you have pleasant emotions that you want to share or negative emotions that you'd like to get rid of, they belong to you. And that's very, very important, because if you're pushing your emotions on someone else and trying to get them to change their behavior so that your emotions aren't triggered, you're not dealing with the issue. And the emotion will continue to get triggered. It will continue, this old experience, this old feeling will continue to be pushed up, brought up, every time something happens that's similar to what you experienced at that point. So first step, realize it's not the other person who's causing you to feel that way. It's something that's inside you. When you understand that, you can step back and either with someone else or yourself, give yourself empathy. Now, the way to heal any emotional issue is with empathy. And that's such a powerful concept. And we'll get into empathy perhaps tomorrow, perhaps a little later. But what the child needs inside you who had these horrible things happen, or these painful things, and these threats, and this pain, and this violence, etc., is to receive permission to feel what was felt at that point. And that permission is called empathy. So if that feeling is still in you, and you can be with yourself, and maybe you sit quietly with your rage or your anger or your sadness or your fear, as you look at it and observe it, you're giving it space to be. You're giving it time that it wasn't given originally. And the process can really start to come out. Anytime you create space for yourself, and this is why we're all terrified of meditation, because once you start meditating, you're immediately giving your subconscious in your body, which stores emotions, and that's also another topic for another time, stored body emotions, the space to feel what is going on inside and to start processing it. And processing is done by feeling. Yes, there are things that people do to express emotions, but actually writing the letter to daddy, pounding your pillow, screaming into your hand, anything like this that you call expressing an emotion, or many, many people call expressing an emotion, is just a way to give yourself permission to feel the emotion. So they can be helpful, they can be useful when you start smashing a pillow or screaming at obscenities or whatever it is you want to do to express your feeling. The problem is when you start doing too heavily, and this is a little bit of the risk, when you start smashing a mattress, the energy of smashing the mattress can take over. And then it's all about smashing the mattress and not about feeling what really is going on. And that anger that may have been there, it can be expressed, and you can still be pushing yourself into anger and smashing the mattress, then you're sort of making yourself angry. But that isn't about the emotion or the actual feeling which is present. That's about now you're in it, now you're telling yourself to do something, right? So if you can give yourself permission to feel without necessarily having to act it, or without forcing yourself to act it, it's much stronger. At the same time, it's much more difficult, which is why, you know, if you need to hammer pillows for a while to get the courage to just stay with the emotion, then do that, if that's helpful for you. Not literally hammer, of course, but, you know, bang on with a stick or something. But once you actually have the ability to stay with your emotions and your feelings, then it will be sufficient to just sit with them or allow the body to do what the body needs to do. And I talk about that again. That's another topic. There's so many. It's a deep topic. There's a lot of concepts. It isn't learned in a day and isn't discussed in a day, but allow the body to do what the body needs to do. And first the mind to do what the mind needs to do. You'll find, if you sit silently for 5 minutes on a chair and close your eyes with a straight back and breathe and concentrate on your breathing, if you're like me when I first began, it's equivalent to being locked in a room with a madman. You want nothing more than to get up and to go and to start doing, because you are confronted with a madman, and that is the person inside of you, the feelings inside of you that have been locked up for so long. And first, all of these thoughts will come up trying to block the processing of whatever emotion it is you need to process, because of course the pain and the realization of that point is felt. Then as you continue through them and you stick with it and you consciously decide to feel the emotion or the feeling, then the body will realize, the consciousness will realize, I'm not going to die simply because I feel what I felt, what I didn't allow myself to feel when I was a young person and felt the experiences and had these experiences at that point. So first step is to stop projecting your emotions on other people. Other people don't make you feel anything. And just like smashing your finger in a door, any feeling you have, regardless, or any emotion that you have, regardless of who caused it, if it's not, doesn't have a physical cause, like someone did literally smash your fingers in a door, and even if they did, it's still your problem that your fingers are smashed in the door, and you have to deal with the pain or the healing or whatever. And of course, ask them not to do it in the future. But it's your responsibility to deal with the issue. So stop projecting, number one. And number two, give yourself space to deal with the emotions. Now, when you're first doing this, I have a page on my website called the Self-Empathy Healing Session. And that explains how to do it for yourself. But if you're not used to healing your emotions yourself, what you're really going to want is someone who can provide empathy for you while you're expressing your feelings. And empathy, let me see my time. Okay, I have a little bit of time. Empathy, I really can spend an hour talking about empathy. But empathy is simply being with the emotions that are in that moment, or even the feelings. So when you're, if someone's showing empathy to you and you start saying, well, it was absolutely horrifying. I was so afraid when my father came at me with his belt. Then the way of empathy is not to say, oh, why didn't you run? It's not to give solutions. It's not to judge, well, you must have been a bad girl. It's not to analyze, I wonder why he did that. It's not to categorize your father as a bad person. It's not to do any of those things. Instead, the process of empathy is simply allowing and confirming the emotion. Meaning, it sounds like you were very afraid. Yes, I was terribly afraid. It was horrible. I was so scared. So you're afraid. And then the person can drop, and they'll say yes, and then the person can drop. I mean, I feel it now when I'm talking about it. They drop into a different level of feeling, of sort of a confirmation of this is how I felt. Yes, and then as they feel that fear, many different things can happen, and the processing of that I'll talk about in a different podcast that's just aimed at empathy. But as they feel that, at some point, the body will have discharged the emotion from that period, which means the fear will disappear and the body will relax. And, you know, there may have been many, many different issues on many, many different levels that created so much historical pain that need to be resolved or looked at or given empathy. before they're able to be processed and released. But what you will find out is if you have processed something by simply being empathetic with it, being present with it, then the next time whatever happens that triggered you last time, there won't be near as much or perhaps almost no emotional content around that. So as you start to identify less and less with what's going on and project it onto the other person, actually take responsibility for it, be present with it, process it with a professional later as you've got some practice with yourself, and this is basically what meditation is about fundamentally, then fewer and fewer things will trigger you, cause you to have extreme swings of emotion in any direction, and you'll connect more and more to your real self, your true self, who is able to respond based on what happened without judging, criticizing, complaining, blaming, guilting, shaming, punishing, etc. So I hope that's a useful overview of emotions versus feelings and why feelings are just fine but tell us that something might need to be dealt with, and emotions are something that need to be dealt with, but not by dealing with whatever triggered them, which may sound a little bit counterintuitive, but we see that most of the time when people say things that cause extreme emotions or do things that cause extreme emotions in us, it isn't to do with what is going on in the moment, but with something in the past. So thank you for listening. You can find me when you Google Ryan Orok or look at byraba.com for any comments, questions, which I'm happy to help with at any point. And I hope you found this helpful. Look forward to the next one.